Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. Yesterday we were having Brandon tell us about some of the supernatural leading in his life and then a supernatural translation to Thailand. You'll have to go on the archives to hear about that translation. But when he got translated and what he overheard was a plot to blow up a plane from Tokyo to LAX. And by his hearing it, he came and told our family. The anointing of God came upon us to get the thing stopped. And it was stopped. And when he got home a few days later, I remember we were sitting out eating and he had this coin in his pocket and he put it out on the table. Pastor Paul was there and Pastor Lee. And he said, "This was in my pocket." And none of us recognized it, but I think Pastor Paul said, "Let's go online." And we found out that it was from Thailand. Mm-hmm. And then he had been, tell about the cricket phones. The man put the cricket phones on the...
In the translation, I saw these phones, and he said, "These are cricket phones. These are prepaid phones. This is how we're going to talk to each other, communicate, because they can't track us down."
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I... after that happened, the first thing I did is I got on the internet and put cricket phones. And then I saw their website and it said leading cell phone company for prepaid wireless phones.
But you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. So that's what really was like, whoa.
And then later you found the coin.
Later I found the coin. Still have it.
And it was a...
Thai
baht. And we learned then later that there was lots of Al-Qaeda activity in Thailand. And somebody involved in
that? Yeah, the one of the masterminds for 9/11 was, he was from Bangkok, Thailand.
Mm-hmm. So in this business of the Lord that we're all involved in right now, we walk in a place that we can hear him and he guides us. Brandon, about a year ago, in fact, it was exactly a year ago, we figured that out today. tell about what happened on your birthday.
For about 2 or 3 weeks before, I had a sensing, I had a feeling I was going to get something for my birthday, like really big. And, it felt like I was going to get a car or something. It was just really big. And, I remember even April 5th, right when it was turning midnight to be April 6th, I stood up real late in the night and prayed because I knew the Lord was stirring something in my heart. And, my birthday was on a Friday, April 6th last year was a Friday night. And that morning we went to a church meeting. And then that night, my sister came in from Tulsa and she said, "Brandon, we need to..." She actually told me this about 2 or 3 weeks earlier. She said, "There's this guy and I've wanted to see him minister before and he has a meeting on April, on your birthday. Would you like to go? I really like to go." I was like, I don't know. Then yeah, we'll go. So that night we go to this meeting.
Who went?
My mom, Hannah, my sister, me, and my mom's husband, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just us. We went there, and at first, we got sat in the back, or we got seated in the back.
The meeting was at Tri-Lakes. It was a big Tri-Lakes. Meeting.
It was
John...
John...
Kirk... forgot his name, but I know him from the revival.
Right.
Kilpatrick.
John mm-hmm. Kilpatrick.
Mm-hmm. And with him was this young evangelist named...
Nathan Morris.
What's Nathan's background?
He's from London, England. His parents were pastors. He was running from the Lord for a while, and his dad went to the Brownsville Revival. And basically, from then on, his life was changed.
His dad came home, there was such a power on his dad that it affected Nathan, and Nathan felt convicted.
Yeah, he said when his dad... came home, he said he felt shut the car door to come to in the house where he was at.
He'd been overseas, to the Brownsville Revival.
Uh-huh.
Came back to England.
He said the presence of God, he started trembling before his dad even walked in. He used to think it was all just a fake and all that. And he got slung out in the power for 3 days.
And the Lord, been partying, hadn't he, while his parents were away?
Yeah, he'd been partying. Mm-hmm. The Lord told him, he said, "This is the last time I'm going to ever tell you again that you're supposed to minister." Because he was dealing with them for a while. So from then on, I'm not really sure exactly. I know he started doing a lot of crusades. And
he went with Reinhard Bonnke. To Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked then with Brother Kilpatrick in the meeting you saw.
Right. And it's interesting too, because I've watched him on TV a couple of times before that. I didn't know who he was. I just watch him sometimes. And so we go there, and there's a lot of people there. And
1 year ago, April 6th.
April 6th. And he calls out. He's, you know, he's real fiery. He calls out, "If you want the fire, come down here." And like 1,500 people go down there. And I said, I'm going to stay. I'm staying here. We're on the third, about the third to fourth row. So I'm going to just stay right here. And all of a sudden, I kind of see him make eye contact with me from the stage. And I didn't think anything about it. And then he started walking towards my way, right? And I told him I'm going to stay here.
And your sister was up there with the other
she was up there
with hundreds of people.
Yeah, she's waiting for...
Trying to get you to go.
Trying to get me to go. And he walks through all those people and he comes to me and starts praying for me. And he first thing he said was, "The Lord's healing you of your emotions."
Now, you had been through this thing that required courage and a breaking off of a relationship.
And just everything, not just that. There's a lot of other, probably a lot of other things that were involved. And he said, "The Lord's healing you of your emotions." And he said, "The decisions you've made, your family and people close to you don't realize how hard it's been and how big it was." And
was that true?
Oh yeah, it was true. Mm-hmm. You know, it was true. And he said, "You're a diamond for the Lord." And he said, "Right now you got some rough spots on you, but the Lord's chiseling you." He said, "You're in a place right now chiseling." He said, "The Lord, you're going to get to that place though." He said, "You can get to a place you're going to have no flaws." And he said, "People will not recognize you. You're going to be completely different." And he said, "The things that you thought you've always had to battle, the Lord's going to make them your strong points." And he kept, you know, saying fire, fire. And then he said, "You remind me a lot of myself." And he said, "It's going to be the same way with you as it was with me. I was kind of right here, and all of a sudden I was out there. Boom, the Lord promoted me." See, that's the same thing that's going to happen to you. And he says, "Our ministries will always be parallel to each other." And
he said, "You're going to be on one level, and then suddenly level. You're going to make a lot of progress to another level."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He says, "It's going to be the glory. It's going to be
the presence of God."
And he said, "You're going to get a revelation of this, what you're going through. And it's going to be the key to your ministry." He said, "The Lord's been watching you really closely. And he's seen you that you've almost quit a few times." And then he said, he goes, "The Holy Ghost wants me to tell you, don't give him any more, I don't know how you say it.
Ultimatums. What'd that mean?
I remember one time I was going to talk or something. And I said to myself, "Well, I'm kind of glad, you know, if it works out, then I know, you know, this might be something I need to do. But if it doesn't, I just know, you know, I'm not called." He said, "The Holy Ghost wants me to tell you, don't give him no more ultimatums anymore."
In other words, you're called. And don't give him any tests to pass to see if you're called.
Yeah.
My husband would do that. Oh, my. Go ahead.
That was it. And he spent about 10, 15 minutes with me. And he talked about that. And
10 or 15 minutes with 1,500 people waiting to have hands laid on them.
Mm-hmm. And he kept screaming fire, and he's praying in tongues for a while.
Praise God.
And then I had it was my birthday that day, that night. My birthstone of that month's a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
April's diamond. I had a shirt on, and it had a diamond on it really big. And he walked off, and he came back, and he said, "The Holy Ghost wants me to tell you, it's no coincidence you're wearing that shirt tonight, because what's on your shirt, the Lord's turning you into that."
Now, he hadn't seen that because you had a jacket on.
Right.
Until he walked away, but he had already talked about the diamond. So that's prophecy. Now, the Lord can lead you in visions and dreams, and he can also lead in prophecy when it's a true prophet and when it already confirms what you have in your heart. So you already knew in your heart you were called, right?
Right, right.
And what he said bore witness with you, right?
That's right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I know you were so shaken by it, really. And you told me about it and shared everything about it right away. And it bore what? Bore witness. What do you mean? When I say bore witness, how could you tell it was God?
Really, to be honest, because for a while I was just spending most of my time with the Lord. I couldn't. There was things I was facing, and I was just talking to the Lord about it, and I couldn't really talk to the family about it. And but it was just the Lord and I, and I was just sharing my heart with the Lord, and He was helping me out each day. He was telling me scriptures, or I'm doing this. He'd tell me, "I'm doing this for you." I heard it really clear. And don't retaliate. Don't say anything. And the things that he said was exactly what I was talking to the Lord about.
Oh, he repeated. I've had that happen to me, where the prophecy came in. It was a repetition of what I said in my prayer.
Right.
Exact words. Mm-hmm. So you knew then that it was God leading you.
Right.
Well, what happened to your life after that, Brandon?
That was in April. Went to a meeting in July. I was thinking, how am I going to change? I started seeing little things.
You needed a change?
Yeah. He also told me, be careful what you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things, you know, I listened to some. I wasn't listening to bad music, but I was listening to different kind of music. And I was always asking the Lord, how can I stop listening to this? And then all of a sudden it just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a meeting in July, and I had like 10 people come up to me and say, there's something different about you. And I knew what it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's going to even get more and more like that. But just a more of a completely just giving myself to the Lord and spending all my time with him, you know, always being with him, a complete difference. It felt like I got like a jump start.
That was like a jump start to your battery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, I mean, thinking back on it now, you know, looking, you know, if we go years ahead, I can tell you probably like the ministry and all that started when Nathan called me out like that.
Nathan, and what's his last name?
Morris.
Nathan Morris. And so you think then that everything, like you've been on a path that was in April, and so you feel like everything then, I know you started you going to church all mm-hmm. the time. You went to church before, but you became so involved
mm-hmm.
in listening to Brother Hagin on tapes, listening to, and your pastor where you've been going to church is?
John Lindell.
Over at?
James River Assembly.
And I mean, he'd come up here and he would preach me over again, John Lindell's Sunday sermons. Plus that he listened to John Lindell when we go down the word. And I haven't met Brother Lindell, but I would like to meet him because I really appreciate what he's put into Brandon. And Brandon would come and preach the sermons. Brother Lindell is a great supporter of Israel. And he'd just tell me one thing after the other. And I was so thankful for the mentors. God puts mentors in your life. And then as Brandon traveled with me through the years, he got to meet a lot of wonderful people of God
mm-hmm.
who also, from Mama Jenkins on,
right.
put a lot into your life. Now, we're going to talk more about this and about your meeting the young woman tomorrow. So this is Billy Brim, and you can go on billybrim.org, and you can begin listening at March 18th, Monday, 2013, if you got in late on this series. We're talking about God's leading, especially young people. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Shalom.